This one's great.
All right, you go first. Okay. Again.
Today on Rock in the Suburbs,
we document a little known but important moment in rock history.
That time Iggy Pop touched Tommy Keane.
Okay, so we're going to go back to the Led Zeppelin
conversation
from yesterday. So if you have not listened to yesterday's episode, that will really help you out because I don't want to go through all that exposition again now to set this up. But basically, to give you the high points here, we interviewed filmmaker Jeff Krulik at a screening of his film Led Zeppelin Played Here, which explores really fascinating story, a bit of folklore that Led Zeppelin may or may not have played a show to about 50 people in 1969 at the Wheaton, Maryland Youth Center.
Yes.
Which seems insane by today's standards, but he lays out a lot of compelling evidence as to how this is plausible.
Yeah.
This could have
That's
happened,
right? Mm-hmm. It was a place that people played and there was a route there.
Right. So, go back and listen to yesterday's episode if you have not, because you'll get a lot more of that background there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have seen this film for, I think, this interview to make sense. That's pretty much what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fascinating exploration of that time period. And in today's episode, we get the questions from people who were in the audience there at the screening.
Yes.
And the first person asks the big question that I was waiting.
Right
I was
kind of
holding this question back, but she just comes right out and asks it. So you're going to get that here. Okay. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And let's get to this interview.
Been dazed and confused for so long. It's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created.
Does anyone out here have any questions for Jeff? Feel free to step forward here so we can get on microphone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on up. Come on up.
Come on.
Don't be shy.
Oh, that's right.
We're all friends here.
Do you think it's true?
That is a wonderful question. And I should have actually said, we always sometimes do ask who believes it happened. And why don't we'll throw that out here. Who believes it did happen.
I'm sorry.
It did happen.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody, most people raise their hands.
Just about everybody raised their hand. Anybody believe it didn't happen?
We have a handful of skeptics here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said you lean towards being a skeptic and not. That's fine because I always want. Look, I had a screening at University of Maryland with academics. I mean, 150 people, well, maybe not that many, but it was a lot of people and half the crowd didn't believe it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this is not what I wanted to do. I mean, I kind of had fun with the whole mystery, you know, component. I understand why that's appealing. And I like it for the fact that it just helps drive what I did. But I also would love to have had hard proof. I feel like the evidence at the end, and I don't have any hard proof, but I have convincing, what I feel is convincing evidence. However, Joe Lappin, Songbird here, great club.
As a follow-up to Do You Believe is, and maybe I just got the answer, but do you want people to believe that it happened?
I kind of do.
Okay, because I never heard you say that until you kind of just said it.
I kind of just said it.
Because how you feel about it influences my opinion on
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, the only comment I would say is that the key evidence being the gentleman, is it Barry?
Barry Richards?
Yeah.
Right.
And he would seem to have perhaps an interest in saying that it happened. So him being your core, the hardest evidence is this guy saying it happened.
Well, one thing about Barry is he's always just kind of talking off the, you know, just his patter is like a DJ just. And so people have like picked apart some of the things they see. Like he said it was fall of 68 or 200 people. And some of the details are sketchy. He says at one point it's a Tuesday night. Well, no, it was a Monday night, but still like I said, he just told me some stuff that I didn't even know about, you know, these additional details that, you know, I mean, they're of interest to me, but they still don't give you that hard proof. But I don't believe it was mass hysteria. I mean, I really think that there, it was a, like, I really do think that it did happen, but gosh, gee, I just want to make it so, yes, this really did happen. And but I understand in the times we live in that people need more. And, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's going to...
I don't know. Some people say we're in a post-truth world right now. Yes, yeah. Might be okay.
So what's interesting is I actually found out about this, not through folklore, but I found out about it because of the Washington Post, maybe like when I was in high school. So that was like 10 years ago. And so when I found out there was a documentary being made about it, I thought that it was just, you know, it actually happened. So... I remember finding out about it from the newspaper, not from folklore. But my question is, you know, a band of that size traveling in the Washington area, where could they have played in the city? Because it feels like that it's from everything we watch, it seems like there really wasn't a market for them to play in the city proper. It seemed like they could only play in the suburbs. So do you think there was anywhere for them to have played in the city anyway? Because that leads me to the theory that, you know, it's much more plausible that they played in Wheaton. It seems so crazy that they played in the suburbs, but it seems, you know, like it all makes sense that they didn't because, you know, their record was barely even out yet.
Well, you're right. I mean, again, it was all about finding venues. I mean, there's a story of, I mean, the Beatles almost played the Bladensburg Fire Hall, but they wound up playing the Washington Coliseum. But really, the venues, as far as anything, you know, it was like CYO halls or these, you know, community centers and high schools, and colleges, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the story, right, Jeff, is that the Sex Pistols were supposed to play at the Alexandria
Roller Rink. Exactly, yeah.
On the first show of the tour, but the visas didn't come through, right?
That's correct. Yeah. The visas did not come through, and so they... I think the first three shows of that Sex Pistols tour were canceled, and they were supposed to play the Alexandria Roller Rink.
That was going
to
be the first show ever, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the infamous days of Iggy Pop playing at the Kennedy Center, which were fiascos because the promoters had to pay for the damages done by the young punks and the rockers after the show was over and such. So that's why a lot of those shows never came back to the Kennedy Center. Because my old boss, Sam Mahamadou, booked them, and he regretted ever putting Iggy Pop at the Kennedy Center.
Now, Jim, when we talked to Tommy Keane, he told us Iggy Pop, he was at that concert at the Kennedy Center. Right. Iggy Pop came into the audience and touched Tommy Keane. He told us that actually happened. So there's
sort of a clammy hand.
It was a very vivid memory.
Yeah.
My only other little tidbit to ask about is based on, it was Page, right, at the end?
Jimmy Page, yes.
Yeah, talking about, he said the Yardbirds days. And then the dude, the Atlantic Records dude, was saying, like, you know, I would tell people it was the Yardbirds. I was just wondering... how much, I don't know if it would have turned up anything new or different, but like to explore that angle, because if you're not calling, if they weren't playing as Zeppelin.
No, I do think that they were promoted as the new Yardbirds, and clearly everything there checks that you can just kind of see it, like as they're just trying to hustle this new, and I think even there was like I've seen a promo album that might have had it even scrawled on there.
I don't know what it says about me. I was most convinced by the lady who originally stood on the stage and said, oh, they never set up on the stage, and she actually pantomimed where everyone was, and then she put her sunglasses on for the second part of the show, which really convinced me. So I don't know why, but
she was
great.
What did it. I mean, she was really animated and emphatic ever since.
Do you know if Philly was the next confirmed date? Is that confirmed that they played in Philly the next night?
No. Okay, but that's a good question. What happened is...
That's the sequel.
Right. Here's what happened. There are three dates that you can kind of think were, you know, are these kind of phantom concerts, which is kind of what they're called or known as. And beginning Monday, January 20th here at Wheaton. And then the next night was believed to be in Pittsburgh. And that... you can look, that's all right. That's somewhat been debunked. or not. I don't know. I mean, there's no hard proof of that concert taking place at what's called the Hunt Armory. And then I've seen reference to a date in Cleveland, that Wednesday. But the next certain hard fact proof date is in Boston at the Boston Tea Party, the club there. And that was for 3 nights. And that's there. See, there's ads in the paper. There's documentation. There's some form of ephemera, which is what really we're lacking here. You know, there's pictures, 3 nights at this club. And that was so you got Detroit, which was 3 nights at the Grandy Ballroom, and then 3 nights beginning the following Thursday in Boston at their rock club dance hall. And that's really it. But in between, it's unclear.
Hi. If I would have grown up anywhere in the country, I would have loved your film. But growing up in this area, it was just really special. I thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
What are all the things you did to try and track down everybody who potentially could have been there in the area, like Facebook messaging or like what are all the things? I'm sure you tried everything you could to figure out how to reach people and see if anybody was there and had any kind of physical evidence. I'm just curious what you tried to do.
Well, what happened was John Kelly in the Washington Post wrote the article that was the first announcement of this reunion. He did it 2 days after the inauguration. It would have been lost if he had done it beforehand or around the inauguration. But immediately, this was January 22nd, 2009, and he gave my email and my phone number. And I just was besieged. I mean, it was cool because that's what I wanted, was to get responses and feedback. But nobody saw Led Zeppelin. Everybody saw other concerts or had other just stories about the Wheaton Youth Center. And that was cool. But it also just, it was overwhelming. The ball, it just really was, we were just fired out of a cannon after that. So I was still entertaining people. Ultimately, I had to make the film. So I knew there were other people that I just could have gotten to. But then when we had the screenings, we had a run at AFI in 2014, which was really great. And people were coming and saying they were there. This one guy, his name was Deli Dave. He worked at the Parkway Deli. And I'm like, I'm going to go get Deli Dave. I'm getting him to tell his story on tape or whatever. And I waited a long time. But when I finally went there, it wasn't too long ago, nobody had ever heard of Deli Dave. And they had been there for years. Nobody knew who I was talking about. So I'm like, what? Well, you know, I know I heard it, but it's like, so I don't know. I mean, it's like, I really, you got to really just follow through is sometimes, I know when I have to, and in this case, I made the film, but pretty much I stopped. I didn't really do a lot more research, but it was after the presentation in front of all the academics who many of them didn't believe it. I thought my work's not done and I have to still find out, come up with some more information. Dave Nuttycombe, who's in the film, met a sound guy who claimed he worked every Barry Richards concert. And I called him out in Baltimore. And yeah, he did, but he remembered nothing, you know? And like, he couldn't give me any details. He just was, that's where, so I'm like, it's just but I do, oh, by the way, I do have a website, you know? So what else is new? No, there's like a LedZeppelinPlayedHere.com, and I'm very much accessible, and I'm interested in any, you know, Facebook's good. And it's a great way to do a lot of research without having to talk to anybody, you know, or at least getting some leads on people and then follow up to, absolutely, you know, every town has if you grew up in blah, 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 you know, so there's Wheaton and Bowie where I'm from and you name it. There's lots of great material out there. Thank you all for coming and being here. Appreciate it. I'm on the web and like everybody, and feel free to, I'd love to keep in touch.
And thanks to Jeff Krulik for investigating the important questions of our time.
That's right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Thanks again.
Okay, and of course, you heard again their reference to Barry Richards. He was the DJ.
Yeah, that's right.
Who promoted the show. And mm-hmm. so, as one person mentioned, maybe it's in his best interest to pump himself up to make everyone yeah. believe this. I don't know. But the film ends with somebody finding evidence of Barry Richards talking about this very soon after it happened.
That's right.
In a newspaper, mm-hmm. like a college newspaper, interview. Mm-hmm. So that's about probably as close as you're going to get to yeah. documented evidence of this show.
Yeah.
So maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it don't know for sure, yeah. but
Jimmy Page doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Would you expect him to, though? That probably would have been the ultimate proof that it didn't happen if Jimmy Page was like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But I do want to say thank you to everyone who came out to the movie, because that made that after discussion really interesting when we yeah. started having questions. And it was a really neat mix of people. And gosh, I got to say, man, we had a pretty full house there. It was
great.
It was almost filled out. So thanks to everybody who came out on a Wednesday night and came to the show. It's a cool place to go if you're near DC or visiting.
Yeah. And if you did come out to the show and not know anything about our podcast, and maybe you're listening to this now because mm-hmm. you're interested in that, stick with us.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We talk about music every day, and yeah. you can hear all kinds of stuff. It's classic, it's new, it's all sorts of things. So,
and you can hear your voice on the show very easily.
This one, yes. and if you want to hear your voice again on the show,
yep.
you can call 612-440-1984. Talk more about Led Zeppelin or anything music related. Mm-hmm. We'll put that on an upcoming episode. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. And visit our website, suburbspod.com.
Yeah.
And you'll, again, if you're new to the show, you can check out all the old episodes there, or you can
right.
search the song database, find a band you like, and then find out what episode that's associated with and listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this long enough now that there's got to be something that you can latch on to.
Has
right?
to be. Has to be. And
it's all documented.
It is. That's right.
Right.
We wrote every episode down, so we'll never forget when it happened.
Thank you, intern Sam.
God
Otherwise,
bless you.
It would be lost forever, right?
That's right.
Let's go on to next week. I don't even know what next week's going to bring.
Well, I don't know either. I'm really looking forward to it, though.
I think you're going
to
be out.
I'm not going to be here, so I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I'm going hiking.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the highest point in Texas on something called Guadalupe Peak. So say a little prayer for me, folks. Hopefully I'll survive.
All right. While you're out, we're going to do something fun. I don't
okay.
know. I've been.
I can't wait.
I've been conversing with some of the local listeners.
Okay.
To see if we can come up with something, and we got a couple of ideas.
Okay,
so we're kicking around. So we'll see what ends up with next week.
All right,
it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
When I made this film and then put like a narrative thread through the credits, I overlooked the fact that a lot of people leave during the credits.
Yeah.
And so I actually had a bit of a narrative thread there that you saw at the end where we said Dave Grohl still hasn't gotten back to us yet.
Yeah.
So who knows?
He will after he hears this.